You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've been listening to Hot Texas, our friend Alex Dormont.
Yeah.
Hot Texas Swing Band.
And we are so delighted that you are joining us tonight. Did I just cut you up? I'm so sorry.
No.
We're so excited. We can, you know, we can't contain ourselves. So we are so excited you are with us for tonight's episode number 168. And Jim, where are we broadcasting from tonight? Use your imagination.
Yes. We are broadcasting from the forgotten town of Bodie, California. The wind blows, the dust flies. Occasionally a door opens or shuts. No one is here. We are waiting for Katie Ryan to tell us about the ghosts of California.
And here she is. Katie, come on and welcome. Hi. We're so
delighted. Because we're not in Bodie.
You know, we've never done like a virtual image, you know, behind us. We always have our lovely banner. But today we were playing around. My brother had been to Bodie and he had taken a bunch of pictures a number of years ago. And we were trying all kinds of Bodie images behind us. But we move around too much. Anyway, Katie, we are so happy to have you with us tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So since you're not actually physically in Bodie, where are you?
I am in Santa Clarita, California.
Okay. We're familiar with that place.
Our old neck of the woods. Hello, neighbor.
I miss you guys.
Oh, yeah. We can't say.
We miss you too. And a lot of other people too.
Yes, we are enjoying our time here in Albuquerque, but you know, Santa Clarita, I think, is still home in our bones. It just is. And we're going to be coming back in April, so we'll stay in touch on that. So, Jim, we have so much to talk about. You want to get us started with a little bio?
A bio on Katie. Katie Ryan is a woman who wears many hats. She has produced two documentaries, The Last Coyote, The Don Edwards Story, and Ghosts of California, that explore the history of California from the Gold Rush all the way to the St. Francis Dam disaster in 1928. Besides being a filmmaker, Katie is a licensed therapist, helping veterans heal from PTSD using horses. She found time to author Horse Wisdom Alchemy, a collection of over 100 years of horse stories from her family in an equine business, which is part memoir and part educational. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
So, Katie, tonight we know we're going to be concentrating on your second documentary, Ghosts of California. But before we get there, we kind of want to know a little bit more about you, if you could share some of your backstory with us.
Sure. I'm originally from Minnesota. But I have been in California since the late 80s. I came out here for the same reason everybody else comes out here, for the entertainment business. And I wound up becoming a psychotherapist. Go figure. Well, I didn't want to be an old lady in Hollywood, apparently.
You know, a lot of those Hollywood people need somebody like you.
Yes. There's no shortage of work.
Tell us a little bit more, if you like. Was this your first book that you authored?
Yes, that was my first attempt. I had a horse injury, so I was forced, because I had a cast on my leg, to sit at a computer and write this, and it's a memoir. And my parents had like a lot of horses growing up, so this is 100 years worth of horse stories, and then also why I went into equine therapy to begin with. And so yeah, that was my first, Horse Wisdom Alchemy.
You know, I was starting to read that again the other day. Yeah. And you started writing about the time you were about 3 years old, weren't you?
Yeah, riding Rocket, the little pony who I got bucked off of, and my, you know, my father just said, "Get back on that horse." So yes,
your first life lesson, one of your first life lesson, right? Sure. Let's see, you and you do currently work with horses, and I think with veterans. You want to touch on that a little bit?
Yes, I am certified by EGALA, which is Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association. I have been with them for a little over 10 years now. And I work with veterans at Blue Star Ranch. And you know Nancy, she's the CEO. And we continue to see veterans for 10 sessions at a time. They don't pay for it. It's for PTSD. And I get to use the horses that I had when I moved from Green Valley down to Santa Clarita. I donated them to the program, so I get to still see my horse.
How many?
We don't have to shovel manure.
How many horses do they have now?
There are five. There's five, and we use all five in the arena at one time with the veterans.
Wow! Do you still have minis?
Yes. Yes, there's a mini donkey, Sammy, and there's Mini Cooper.
Mini Cooper.
How does working with a horse help a fellow or a lady who is has some traumatic damage, you know? How does that help them?
Right. Well, I mean, they don't want to sit in an office and talk about their feelings. They need to be outside moving. And we just give them props, and we have them basically build their world in the arena. It's all metaphorical. And they build a relationship with the horse, too. Mm. And if they are feeling uncomfortable or have PTSD, they start to feel, you know, like they have confidence. Mm. And if you can move a 1,000-pound animal, you can do anything, really. And it really works. It's because the horses mirror what's going on with them. So like if they're very anxious, the horse is anxious.
You're going to be anxious, yeah.
So it's it's beautiful work, really.
Yeah. Mm. Is it mostly a ground work or
yes,
do they
fall down on the ground?
It's ground work.
Yes.
So they don't have to know how to ride or learn how to ride.
Not at all.
It's all
not
ground work. Wow. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, you know, when did you first start writing? Because obviously you had to do that when it comes to songs and screenwriting. And so when did you start that?
When did I start?
Writing.
Writing. Not riding a horse, but writing. No.
Right. Yeah, they sound very similar.
Right. I actually... Seriously, after having a horse injury is when I started seriously writing. Although I had to in grad school, I had to write a lot of papers. So that's where I kind of learned to write. But I just like doing documentaries, I kind of went, I need to do this, you know? And when you feel moved to do something, you just do it. It's not like you go to school for it. You just do it.
Yeah. So since you brought up documentaries, before we go to our first little break, would you tell us a little bit, the first one we're going to talk about, we'll talk about after the break, but you could kind of introduce the first documentary and a little bit about how that got started.
Sure. So somebody gave me for a Christmas present tickets to see Don Edwards at a fundraiser at the William S. Hart Museum. And I went and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is just so amazing. And He was talking about the night that Tom Mix died, and I'll talk about that more later, but he just sort of transported me to this time in history, and I was just like, he's like the Frank Sinatra. and I was hooked from that moment, and I just walked up to him at the Cowboy Festival, I think the next day, him and his wife. And I said, can I follow you around for like 3 years? So, yes, it was just, I was just moved to talk to him and document him because he was so talented. I was just amazed by it.
We met Don for the first time at the Autry Museum in summer of 91. Could have been 92, but I think it was summer of 91. We had just moved to California and I was volunteering there. And that particular summer, all summer, they had every, I don't know, Thursday night, they had a Western performer with Sons of the San Joaquin we saw. And Don was the first one. And we were like you. We got the Don Edwards fever. We didn't know it would change our lives. We were already captured and passionate about the West. But Don and that his presentation that night was very intimate. It was in the Wells Fargo Theater, but it was still very intimate. It was, you just felt like you were right at his feet. And he was giving the backstory, you know, as so often happens, to each song. And there was one where he sang it in like four different styles. This is how an African American cowboy would sing it. This is how, and we were like,
an Irish guy,
Exactly. We were mesmerized, and we became not only Don Edwards fans, but it shifted our whole, it shifted our whole trajectory, didn't it?
Sure thought something about Western music.
We never thought about doing a documentary of him, though.
No.
But we'll be forever indebted to Don Edwards and so many of the other performers that we were discovering right around that time. For a huge impact on our lives. So we are going to take a very short break and hear a little bit from our sponsor, one of our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. Are you a writer? Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are standing by to assist you. Here's a word about a special they're offering right now. And immediately after the spot, when we come back, we'll enjoy a short clip of a song written and performed by Don Edwards, featured in Katie's first documentary, The Last Coyote, The Don Edwards Story. You do not want to go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page, starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
In the evening's twilight, melancholy shadows stray down the trail of memories from west of yesterday. The night's a time for thinking back to days of long ago, and my favorite cowboy hero, and that famous horse he rode. They rode the open range out across the silver screen, over sawdust trails and purple sage, and in a young man's dream. Dreams don't last forever, but memories never die. Out there west of yesterday, Tom Mix will always ride.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Rendezvous with the Writer. We're talking with Katie Ryan. We're talking about the documentary involving Don Edwards. But first, tell us about this song.
A little more about this song.
I will. So apparently, after Tom Mix passed away, there was a story, I guess, in the LA Times about him. And Don read it. There was an article. And Tom Mix, who, of course, is the cowboy actor with the big, tall gallon hat in the movies. And they were in Tucson, Arizona, and him and another guy were at somebody's house, and they were talking about the movies and, you know, watching the sunset. It was just this beautiful night. And then Tom left to go home. He was driving his yellow Cord, which I saw actually on display somewhere. It's just beautiful car.
Yeah, we have two gorgeous.
Yes. And he was going pretty fast, I think, around a corner, and one of those old suitcases was in the back and hit him in the neck. And so he was killed instantly.
Yeah.
And they were speculating, you know, when they found that out, that, you know, I guess he was in his 60s at that point, and he wasn't doing as many movies. So if you're going to die, die instantly, right? But Don was really moved by that story of the last night of watching the sunset with his buddies. And so he wrote that song, West of Yesterday. And I heard that at the William S. Hart Museum. And that was the song that just put me on the trajectory of saying, this guy is so incredible. His voice. I don't think there's any cowboy singer's voice that is quite like his. So unique.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I'm not sure. Yes, it's in his Saddle Songs book.
Yes. Too. Yeah. Yeah, he writes about it in the Saddle Song. And then you also get the lyric. So if you want to learn it or play it, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. And there's a picture of Don, a lovely picture of that is just Don. That's him. You know, he has a voice. I remember that first time when we heard him. And I remember saying to Jim, that man can sing me awake in the morning and he can sing me to sleep at night and I'll be a happy camper.
Sing the phone book.
When did you first approach him about the film?
Yeah.
Okay. So after seeing the fundraiser, I think then I went to the Cowboy Festival and, you know, went to all the venues where he was playing. And at the time I looked at my husband and I said, we need to document him. And we just wandered up to him and Kathy, and said, hey, what do you think about us doing a documentary about you? And he looked at us and he goes, why didn't I think of that? And so we thought, oh my gosh, we have to do it now because he said yes. So then what we did is he was playing a fundraiser at the Will Rogers. And so we filmed him there and we made a teaser and we sent it to Don and his agent to, you know, just to let him know we're serious. Mm-hmm. And then they agreed. Okay. And so that's how the ball started rolling. And then I went all over the place.
You know, I have to compliment you because I suddenly remember back when you made that film and you actually did a special screening for some folks.
Yes.
Just to get their input.
We remember.
And I thought, you're really brave to do that.
Yeah, Katie Moffitt was there. There was a room full of people.
And most of them responded pretty positively or had good comments that made some sense. I'm sure we had a couple of people in the back, though, that we probably should have ushered out the room.
But. No, I don't remember it that way. But I don't know. But Katie was very open and
she
accepting.
Was. And, no, she
and,
was.
And then the docu you continued working on it. So you call it The Last Coyote. Mm-hmm. And in a moment, we're going to play a song, another song. Why did you decide to title the documentary that, Katie?
Okay, because he sings the song Coyotes. And, you know, when you hear the song, you understand it's you know, are we losing these things? Are we losing animals? Mm-hmm. And are we losing, you know, nature and things like that? And so it also has to do with cowboys, you know, is it like the last cowboy? And people from the West really resonate with that. They're just like, wow, I hope this doesn't go away, you know. Yeah. It's so part of our childhood, or at least some of us. Yeah. So yeah, that. And so then I thought, you know, this could be the last coyote. And I asked Don too, are you the last coyote?
Yeah.
He said, well, I hope not. Maybe. So it just worked that way.
Well, we're going to take a listen to it. It's written by Bob McGill. Yes, Bob McGill, but performed by Don. And it's also one of the songs on his Best of Don Edwards album. And we're going to take a listen right now, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is The Last Coyote. No, Coyotes. This is Coyotes.
Coyotes.
Was a cowboy I knew in South Texas. His face was burnt deep by the sun. Part history, part sage, part Mexican. He was there when Pancho Villa was young. And he'd tell you a tale of the old days, when the country was wild all around. Sit out under the stars of the Milky Way and listen while the coyotes howl. And they go, woo-yip, woo-yip, woo. Hoo-loo-yip, woo-yip, woo-yip, woo. Hoo-loo-yip, woo-yip. Now the longhorns are gone, and the drovers are gone, the Comanches are gone, and the outlaws are gone. Geronimo's gone, and Sam Bass is gone, and the lion is gone, and the red wolf is gone.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We're talking with Katie Ryan. Katie, where can we see this film?
Okay, it is streaming on redcoraluniverse.com. Okay. It's free. You just, when there's a lot of films on this, so you just put in documentary, The Last Coyote, directed by Katie Ryan, and it'll come up.
Great.
And you can watch it there.
We're going to step away one more time just for a moment to tell you about one of the places that you can order the books for many of our author guests. You can find them on the Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And immediately following that spot, we're going to hear a clip of the title track from Katie's newest documentary, which will be focused on for the balance of the show, Ghosts of California. You don't want to miss a bit. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Touched by 24 karat gold, California is my name. Gold revealing secrets beneath the rocks of shame. The mission stole their way of life, took away their customs too. Their beads, seeds, and baskets hidden from our view. Let the ghosts have a voice. Gold dust in the wind's refrain. People that had no choice. Right the wrong of their pain.
Welcome back. Katie, tell us about that song.
My friend Janine Cooper Ayers and I took a road trip to Prescott, Arizona, and we wrote it together. Mm-hmm. And basically, it sort of encompasses all the chapters of the documentary. We put it all in there. And, you know, after doing the Don Edwards one, and realizing about copyright, I thought, well, maybe I should write a song. and so that's what I did. And yeah, it turned out well. And Janine sings on it as well. And David Kaufman plays guitar.
Right. Yeah. So can you give us a little backstory? How did this film come about?
Yes. So after the Don Edwards documentary, Diamond Farnsworth came up to me, I think at a cowboy festival, and he said, look, if you do another documentary, you should do one about Dave Stamey, and if you do, I'll help you. And I thought, well, but I've already done one about a cowboy singer, right? But I started listening to Dave Stamey's music really closely, and I realized that he had all this music about California history. And I was like, well, maybe I should do one about California history. So that's what I decided to do. And I talked to Dave Stamey about it. And, you know, because he has all these incredible songs that are used in it. And usually you put the music in at the end of a documentary. And in this case, each song was the inspiration for each chapter. So it kind of, we're putting the horse before the wagon, I guess. And it was a lot. It was a lot because it was seven chapters.
Yeah. But anyway,
that's how it got inspired.
So I think we're both curious. We understand about pick the song inspiring, but it also seems as we look at the topics that you're looking at, that you're also looking at more to the story than maybe we all think about. There are some iconic things that are in the documentary, but are you trying to show more than what we might already, you know, think about the railroad or whatever that, because I think that's so interesting.
Yeah. Well, and you know, as you do research about these subjects, you find out a lot more and things that maybe you don't want to know, but you do, but because it's our history. So yes, I did. And I mean, even every time I watch the film, I learned something new. but yes, I did. And starting with like the Battle of San Pasqual, I knew nothing about that. Do you want me to talk about that
first? A little bit? Cause and then we'll play the song and kind of finish this particular topic. So yeah, tell us about that. Yeah.
Okay. The thing is that our friend Mike Fleming wrote the song On California Ground. And when I heard that, I was like, what is this? And, you know, it takes place, the Battle of San Pasqual took place at Warner Ranch down near San Diego, which is right next to the Wild Animal Park, if anybody's been down there. And it was the bloodiest battle of the Mexican-American War, which is kind of shocking because only like 35 people perished, but still, in America it was. And the story is quite harrowing, actually, because the Californios, which were the Mexicans, were great horse riders, and they had big, long spears. And so they really, and then riatas, where they would just lasso these guys out of their, you know, out of their saddles. And they, I guess the Americans said that they were victorious, but I don't know if I agree with that.
And I'm sure that the singer songwriter of this song perhaps doesn't know to agree with that either. Let's take a listen to Mike Fleming. And hello, Mike, if you're listening, we're delighted to have you with us tonight. And let's take a listen to On California Ground. It's just a short clip. We'll be right back.
Well, we made our move at sunup to take them by surprise, but they lay and wait in shadows with cold and angry eyes. Kid Carson said, don't worry, them Mexicans won't fight. They'll be running for the hills by morning light. With sabers drawn, we charged them and we let out with a yell. But the Lancers never faltered and they rode in for the kill. Their stallions danced like demons and brought my brothers down and spilled our blood on California ground. California's coming, riding like the wind, the thunder of the horses and the cries of fighting men. California's sunrise, blood red dawn. Lost the very best of the Army of the West. Now they shall lay together forever on California ground.
That's a great song. You know, so Mike, powerful. If you're out there listening, we appreciate that. I can remember we had Mike and his band. He had a couple of bands. He performed in the store. He performed there in the theater on Main Street.
Yeah, good we old miss days. You, Mike. Well, that's a powerful, powerful song, and we can't wait to see how you set it in the film and hear the whole song. We are just showing, you know, we're just doing about a minute from song, so there's a lot that's a teaser for y'all. It's a teaser. So now, Katie, let's do another story. Let's see, maybe about the missions.
Yes, the missions. So, of course, this was inspired by the Mission Bell. But basically, the missions, which expands over many, many years, what I did is I interviewed two fourth graders, because in California, you have to build a mission when you're in fourth grade. And so I kind of wanted to show the contrast of these children who, like, how much do they really know about the missions when they're building? Usually their parents are helping them quite a bit. And so I interviewed them, and I also interviewed a gentleman. His name was Rudy Ortega, and he was the Titivian Indian chief, tribal chief. Because he's a mission Indian, so he can, or a descendant, I should say. So he could tell me a little bit more than most people. And I interviewed his son because he's Native American. And I thought it would, the contrast of having the little girl and the Native American kid building the mission would be interesting. Mm-hmm. So, and then also there's another man that I interviewed, and his name, and I'm going to grab his book, if you don't mind. It's by Elias Castillo, and it's called A Cross of Thorns. And he's no longer with us, unfortunately, but he wrote this book, and he was nominated for a Pulitzer 3 different times. The guy knows what he's talking about. And it's the enslavement of California's Indians. And he did research and found, I guess it was some letters from Father Sarah. And if you're Catholic, you usually know who Father Sarah is, and there's statues of him and so on. So you find out some stuff about the missionaries that isn't so pleasant. And, you know, that was upsetting. It was upsetting. And I didn't want it to be the first thing in the documentary because I didn't want to depress everybody. But it's true, you know, and I hope that we learn something from it. I really do.
And you used Dave Stamey, who you talked about a little bit earlier. And you use I think, three of his songs in the documentary. We're going to take a listen now to The Mission Bell. And again, this is just a little bit of it, but this is Dave Stamey, The Mission Bell.
We came to the mission. They promised us food. The men there said that we should stay and learn to do good. They said the land belonged to God now. We must all obey. They taught us to make adobe brick and how to kneel and pray. These men wore robes of brown, and some of them were kind. They let us light the candles, but we could not drink the wine. Also there were soldiers with horses and with spears. If they could not rule by love, they would rule by fear. And in my dreams still ring the mission bell.
Quite a song. Quite a song.
Pretty powerful.
Yeah, and it's off Dave Stamey's Come Ride With Me, if you're wanting to, you know, hear this whole song before you get the documentary.
You know, one of the most neglected and unknown California stories is the one about the San Francis Dam disaster. Would you like to give us a little recap of that one?
Yes. You know, I didn't know anything about it until I lived in Santa Clarita, and it's just 7 miles up the road. But basically, in 1928, Bill Mulholland, who a lot of people that live in California know that name, because Mulholland Drive, and he built a lot of reservoirs. And the turn of the century, he started the Department of Water, and he was the general, I think, chief engineer. And he built this dam up San Francisco Canyon. But the problem was it was built on, I think it was 70 acres, okay, and 200 feet tall, 70 mm-hmm. acres. But it was built on an ancient landslide. And it shifted with the weight of the water. And what happened is, like midnight, the dam broke and it went, you know, 10-story high water, went all the way down the canyon and all the way down to Ventura through Santa Paula and Fillmore, and like 400 people just swept away. A lot of them didn't even know what hit them because they were in bed. And it was like the biggest disaster besides the San Francisco earthquake at the time. So yeah, it was a big deal. And it, you know, because it's rural, a lot of people weren't even aware that it was there. And I guess there was a leak like a couple of days before, yeah. And Mulholland yeah. came out and took the look, and it's, oh, I think it's going to be okay.
That's right.
It was not.
Right. I remember that.
And, it is a spot you can go out to. I know we've been there, and it's still haunting to be there, isn't it? It's just,
yes, there's still big rocks yeah. that from the dam still there, you know, from 1928. And you know, Katie Moffett sang her song, I think, at the Cowboy Festival, which was amazing. Her and Wendy Waldman wrote that song. Mm-hmm. Inspiration.
Yeah. And then I think you were telling me that in the film, Katie's actually, we're going to listen to a bit of the song in a moment, but she was actually at the site. Was she there?
Yes, we filmed her at the site playing the song, and she was also helped a little bit with the narration. of that part.
Okay. And then just as a side note, William S. Hart, for any of our classic movie, Western silent film fans out there, William S. Hart was also a resident right in the Santa Clarita in Newhall, in an area we now call Old Town Newhall. But his home that he had retired to was like right there. And he got he was very philanthropic, wasn't he? He got involved. What was some of the things, or one of the things that?
I think he paid for some of the victims' funerals and like conducted a funeral for them, because there was a kid and his mother, and he had a funeral for them, and you know, paid for everything. And then a lot of the victims were taken. They used a makeshift morgue right there in Newhall. It was an old dance hall. That night. And he really helped in any way he could. And he was the silent movie star at the time.
Yeah. That was Bill Hart for you. Mm-hmm. Let's take a listen to a little bit of the St. Francis Dam disaster with Katie Moffitt.
3 minutes to midnight, some 50 miles away. They said the lights flickered and dimmed in L.A. The last thing the dam keeper heard was the sound, the rumble and roar of the dam breaking down. 150 feet high at the top, this dark wall of death that nothing could stop. Through sagas Fillmore and Pyru, 500 souls were swept to their doom.
Hey, quite a moving song. You know, Katie's one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Hear that song.
Yes.
Hear her singing that song. Yeah, that was pretty, pretty impressive.
And Katie, if you're listening, we miss you and love you.
Tell us a little about the filming and how you put it together, and your casting and the crew. And
First of all, Dave Stamey is really the star of this. He's, because he's a true historian. Besides being an incredible songwriter, he knows a lot about history. So he's interviewed several times. And I interviewed, I think, in this doc, about 20 different people. And for Coyote, it was 30 different people. But for this one, it was 20. And I want to mention my crew because it's important. So David Kaufman was the narrator, and so was Katie Moffitt. And my associate producer was Janine Cooper Ayers, my friend.
Yes.
And my DP was Dan O'Connell, who I met him at the 90th anniversary of the St. Francis Dam tour. That's how I met him. We were sitting next to each other watching the film, and he became my DP for this.
Okay.
And then my editor is Howard Basho, and he was also my editor for Coyote, and he's incredible. Okay. He's from South Africa. The editor is everything. And they clean everything up, and he was just great. And my son also did some additional editing, and so did Dan O'Connell. And then in terms of the other people, there was Mike Fleming, was interviewed, and Ray Doyle.
Ray Doyle.
Cody, and he sings live in it as well. Mm-hmm. Katie Moffitt, David Kaufman, Janine, and Gary Allegretto played the harmonica.
Yeah, yeah. We know all these folks.
It's like, how come we weren't there? it just makes it feel so really wonderful, because we know the talent of all of the people that you're mentioning. Very quickly, what are maybe just say, what are the other stories?
Because there were seven chapters. Yeah, the other ones were the Vaqueros.
Yeah.
Okay. And Buddy Montez was in that too. And he is a vaquero that I believe is in New Mexico right now. He's a California vaquero. So the vaqueros, Bodie, and I interviewed Betty McConniff because she is a tour guide there. And then for the railroads, it was Phil Sexton, and he used to work at the Railroad Museum.
Yes.
A ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes, so the chapters are the Gold Rush, Bodie, Railroads, Battle of San Pasquale, Missions, Vaquero, St. Francis Dam.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned.
So, Katie, where can people?
Where do we see it?
Yeah, where do we go to see it? And well, where do they go to learn more?
Okay, so I just got a text a minute ago. I think it's going to be at Rancho Camulas. I'm not sure for sure. I'll put it on my website, ghostsofcalifornia.com, to update people for that. I'm hoping that it will be during the Cowboy Festival, but we'll see. But it premiered at the Smokehouse on Main Street.
Oh, yeah.
Just for friends and family. And then I did show it at Rancho Camulas, and it's been in one film festival. So we're hoping to show it again at Rancho Camulas because it's such a fitting place for it. So it's not distributed yet because it just came out last year. And so... You know, if anybody has any ideas, let me know.
And what's your next project?
Oh, boy.
You already thinking? I bet you are.
You know, people ask me that, and I'm almost thinking it might be interesting to do something about equine therapy with veterans, but I don't know because it's touchy because, you know, people are in treatment and they would want to tell their story. And so that's a possibility. And then I have another idea about musicians because there's always got to be music.
Yeah. Because you're writing and singing now too. So yeah, that's fabulous.
You know, there are the people that do things with horses in therapy, but we've never seen any film on it. So we've just had, it's just the word of mouth kind of stuff. Yeah. So yeah. It might
That's true. Calling you. Well, yeah. Let's see. I'm just looking at time, Jim. We have just enough time to share a quote. You have a quote?
We have a quote. I just took this from the Don Everett song, West of Yesterday. The last couple lines here. Dreams don't last forever, but memories never die. Out there west of yesterday, where atomics will always ride.
Oh, Tom Mix and Tony. Yeah. So wonderful. Well, we really thank you for being with us tonight, Katie. And we know that you jumped in kind of last minute. And I'm just so thrilled that we were able to catch up with you and learn all about this film that we knew you were working on. It's so exciting. We want to give a big shout out to our DJ tonight, Sam Hassan, owner of LA Talk Radio, and our engineer and producer. Thank you, Sam.
A lot of music from Sam.
We want to thank, of course, always our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, for all that they do to support Rendezvous with Ryder, and the Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band. Next week, we'll be back, of course, same time, same place, same station, LA Talk Radio, streaming on Facebook, LA Talk Radio Facebook, and Rendezvous with a Writer Facebook. And then later, as you may know, I upload it to Podbean, and it goes out, the audio, to Spotify and Amazon Music and all those great places. Next week, we have two guests in the house. Both authors that we know well, and they got together and they wrote a book, Natalie Bright and Manuela Schneider, two of the hardest working authors out there in the West who are just immensely talented. They got together and they wrote A New Fatherland. It is a remarkable story. And it is about Germans heading into Texas and a lot of what went on as they make that trip. I couldn't put it down. We're very excited to chat with them next week. So you don't want to miss that. Do you have another closing comment?
I do. But thank you again, Katie. We appreciate it.
Great to see you guys. Hope to see you soon.
Okay. And as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing and filming.
And we'll
keep
reading and watching.
We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.